reading from John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been already in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but still the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit, and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man keep this man from dying? Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, a rather stench has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they might believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will come in him, believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all. You do not understand it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed. He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to put him to death. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I'll take a few minutes to talk about Jesus, the resurrection. There's a lot of folks, and they think about loved ones who've died. They get very sad and depressed. They get angry at themselves because maybe there was some bad blood between both of them, and maybe there were some things they didn't say and things they said they wish they hadn't said. And now they can't take it back. And their point of view, they think, well, they're dead and they're gone. It's over with. Game over. But as Christians, we don't have that attitude. As Apostle Paul said in one of his letters to the churches, we don't grieve like those without hope. We have a hope for our loved ones. And that hope is found here in the story of Jesus and his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, you may recall from Luke's gospel, we know that Jesus was swinging by the house, if you will, and have supper with them. And I'm sure you ladies remember the story of Mary and Martha on one occasion. Martha was in our culture, we say, was in the living room listening to Jesus, while Martha was in the kitchen washing the pots and pans. And, Lord, will you tell my sister to get in this kitchen and help me out? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, Martha. And it was kind of the Brady Bunch. Martha, Martha, Martha. Quit worrying about those pots and pans. Come here and join us. This is what I'm pouring right now. And so he had a love for Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. So when Lazarus became ill, Mary and Martha did the natural thing. They said, we need to find Jesus. Now remember, there's no phones, no internet, no single text, Facebook message, any of that. No life locks. So they sent out messengers. Somebody find Jesus. And just tell him, Lord, the one you love is ill. That's all he needs to know. And they thought, well, surely if he hears this. Now, we've heard stories where on several occasions. Once with a woman and her daughter. Another occasion with a Roman centurion, his servant. Another case with a nobleman, his son. Where Jesus just gave the command and healed from a distance. And they waited and waited. And Lazarus got weaker and weaker. And then he died. And they misthought, don't panic, don't panic. I remember one time there was a man named Jairus, whose daughter, 12 years old, died. And Jesus walked in with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the parents. But his hand, the young girl's hand, said, Talitha kumi, little damsel, arise. And she woke up. that did not happen. And then it came time for the burial, and they thought, well, I found a nurse door where Jesus was walking around, and he came across a funeral procession. The widow of Nain's only son had died, and there they were carrying the coffin down the street to the graveyard for burial. And Jesus tapped that coffin. Young man, arise, and he stood up. But that didn't happen either. Instead, Lazarus was placed in that tomb. The stone rolled over, and 4 days went by. And then here comes Jesus. And they must have thought, well, here comes Johnny come lately. Now he shows up. And Martha rushes out to have a little talk with Jesus, and she's a little upset with him. Because she has to be thinking, Lord, as many times as we cooked supper and took care of you, where were you when we needed you? And so she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, that's a disappointment. But notice, though, she has this faith. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. So we see this faith is not well developed yet. It's still growing. Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I still have my faith in you, you know. Now, usually at the funeral home, this is where we would say, you'll see your loved one again in heaven. Well, Jesus doesn't say heaven. It says, he takes it even better. He goes, your brother will rise again. Now, in the book of Daniel, if you read the very end of the book, I know everybody gets on about the line, Daniel lines in that part. But in the book, the angels talk to Daniel and says, Daniel, here's what's going to happen in the future. And you, Daniel, are going to sit down and rest for a while. But on the last day, you will rise again. And that's when God will reward the righteous, okay? The resurrection. So Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, Jesus, what good is that going to do me? Of course he'll rise again. On the last day, the resurrection of us all. And that's when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they may die, yet they shall live. And those who believe and live in me will never die. That's a promise of Jesus you can take to the bank. When he said, I am the resurrection, he's saying, Martha, this eternal life doesn't start on resurrection morning. It starts here and now when you put your faith and trust in me. Even though you may die, yet you shall be living. And those who believe and live in me will never die. And then he turns the table on Martha and asks her a question. Do you believe this, Martha? You know, a little while ago, our friend Clint led us into the creed, and we said, I believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting. Now, how many of us will really believe that? It's not just enough to be printed in the book. That needs to be written on our hearts. The idea that on the last day, God will overturn death and raise up the righteous again and just take care of death and destruction and evil and sin for once for all and restore this good world to where it needs to be. And Martha is struggling a little bit with this, and she says, well, Lord, you know, I believe you're the Messiah, another one from the Jewish scriptures, and I believe you're the Son of God, the one coming to the world, and I'm sure her understanding of Son of God wasn't like our understanding. Ours should be more developed. But she understood there was some kind of special relationship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. And then she leaves and tells Mary, Mary, Jesus wants to talk to you. And we don't know whether she was telling a little white lie or not, right? It just says she up and left. And I've shared with you before how when I was at Cleveland State, I was in the history class, and the professor had gone to a friend of mine for acting silly. And what's funny was he was acting silly to try and impress this softball player. But in turn, she turned him into the professor and got him in trouble. And so there was some bad blood between the two. And so one night, we were getting ready for the class to start, and my other buddy was on the phone, his cell phone, you know, this about flip phones, right, talked to him. And I talked to him, and he was in the hospital. And so I was chit-chatting with him. And then the professor came in, opened up his suitcase, and I had this idea, and I said, "Hey, Aaron, the professor wants to talk to you and see how you're doing." "He does?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, sure, bring him on." I said, "Okay." And so I covered the phone up, went over to the professor, and I said, "Dr. Colbert, Aaron Reagan's on the phone. He's in the hospital. He wants to talk to you." "He does?" I said, "Yeah." "Okay." So I handed that phone over, and I took a deep breath. I thought, this could backfire, right? And he's like, "Well, where are you?" And he goes, "In the hospital." I said, "You're going to let a little thing like that make you miss out on my lecture?" And you can hear them both laughing, talking back and forth. And he says, "Well, I hope you get feeling better, Aaron." And then hang up and get the phone to me. And that kind of put an end to that bad blood between the two. Well, Mary jumps up. And when she jumps up, all her friends jump up and go along with her. So she has a little posse, if you will, entourage. And I'm so glad they came with her because they were witness to this. She falls down at the feet of Jesus. And every time you meet Mary, she's at his feet. Either she's listening to him, she's pleading with him, or she's anointing his feet. "Oh, Lord, if you only been here, my brother would not have died." And she's sobbing and weeping. And Jesus sees her weeping and her friends weeping and says he was disturbed in spirit and moved. And they say, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus begins weeping. Now, he's hurt by seeing his friends hurt. And you know how it is when you, your children or a friend has lost a loved one, and it really doesn't affect you, that death, but you see how it hurts them, and that in turn hurts you. And some of the Jewish people say, "Oh, look how he loved him." And the few of them say, "Well, wasn't this the guy who healed the man born blind? Couldn't he have done something to keep his friend from dying?" And so they come up to the tomb, and Jesus says, "Remove the stone." And Martha, being mispractical, says, "Lord, don't do that. He's been dead 4 days. No, it's going to smell awful." "Martha, did I not say if you believed you would see God's miracles and wonders?" And then Jesus says a prayer out loud. And now, just a little while ago, our youth read off some great scripture about giving thanks. And Jesus prayed, "Father, I give you thanks for hearing my prayer. I know you always hear my prayers, but I'm saying this out loud so the people around me may believe you sent me." And then Jesus walks up and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who was dead came out. And Jesus unbind him. And then the next scene I always find touching. It talks about how many of the Jewish people believe in Jesus. And I can see Mary, Martha hugging Jesus, Lazarus. And then I can see Jesus standing at that empty tomb thinking, "I'm next. In a few more weeks, it'll be me in that tomb wrapped up on a Friday night and all Saturday. Looking forward to Sunday morning." Now, what about us? Well, the Apostle Paul says that when the Lord returns with the shadow archangel, what he'll say, I don't know, but he'll probably say something like, "Children of God, come forth." And Paul says that those who have died in Christ will rise again, their bodies, their spirits reunited. And then those of us who are still on this planet live and kicking, we might be young or we might be hobbling along at that point, depending on when he shows up. We'll be transformed. And together we will be with the Lord. And so we look forward to the resurrection morning. And so when there's a funeral, we don't get upset when it's over and they take the tent down and they're doing the bulldozer and they're patting down the dirt and doing all that little cleanup stuff. Because we know our loved ones are not there. That's just the body. We know that the absence of the body is to be present in the Lord. And we know that on the resurrection morning when Jesus returns, that dead body will rise again. Jesus said, "As I live, you shall live also." And when that body rises again, be reunited with our loved ones who died in Christ. And no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And how is all that made possible? It made possible with the fact that Jesus himself experienced death, dying on the cross. And like Lazarus, he also was wrapped up and buried in the tomb. And just as Jesus only needed that tomb for the weekend, we only need our burial spaces just that amount of time between burial and his coming. When he says, "Children of God, come forth, we'll rise again, sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life." Remember that song? It's made possible. Why? Because of the promise of Christ. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they may die, yet they shall live. And those who believe and live in me will never die." Thanks be to God. Amen.